ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
This is D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, here with the 384th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. We have a special edition this week, a special episode this week, because we're going to hear from Falcons coach Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot, kind of putting a bow around the 7-10 season and then looking forward into what's going to be a very busy offseason. We're going to title this episode The Front Office Shuffle. Yeah, that's what we're going to call it, because they'll be shuffling. And they'll be doing a lot of work this offseason, starting right away with the announcement that they're going to be coaching in the the East-West Shrine Bowl out in Las Vegas. On the calendar here, it starts on the 25th, and the game's the following week on the 2nd. You know, we'll see how that goes. The NFL's trying to promote that game as one where some of the minority coaches get opportunities to coach and lead. Marquise Williams is going to be the Falcons head guy out there. And Arthur Smith was excited because he said, hey, I just get to chill in Vegas for a week. But, you know, they're going to look at the players and interview them, because that's a valuable part of this process. And then the Senior Bowl's going. So GM Terry Fontenot said they're going to split up the forces, make sure both of the games are covered, and start getting ready for this offseason. So, but let's look back. We got a lot of issues facing the team here. The quarterback, Caleb McGarry, Chris Lindstrom, a lot of issues. But Terry, one of the things Terry Fontenot said is, hey, before we move forward, we're going to assess everything. You know, that's the old self-assess, self-scout. And then that'll guide their actions in free agency, which is first, and then the draft, which is second. So let's hear from the general manager. Go straight to general manager Terry Fontenot on how this season went.
Yeah, it's look, we sit here and we're 7-10. Every time we lose a game, we hate losing. We're all competitors and we hate losing, but what we appreciate is the resilience of this team and the way they fought and competed every single game, and the way they competed in practice, and the way they continue. We have a really resilient team. It hurts whenever you lose. You hate it for the staff. You hate it for the players. You hate it for the fans. We have a really passionate fan base. We appreciate them all the way down to the last game against Tampa, the energy in the building, all those things. And so you hate losing any games. We're competitors. But what we really believe in, we believe in the direction of this program. And we're very excited about the culture that we've instilled on competitiveness and development. We're very excited about the identity of this team. And so we really believe that we're moving in the right direction. And we're excited about going into this offseason and getting better.
All right. Yes, something's got to be made of the close games, the one-score games, you know, falling behind and then coming back and making it close. You know, sometimes that could be fool's goal. But Will Effort, you know, Cunningham and some of the analytics people to put a, you know, bow on that. Last year when it was happening, they were like, hey, this isn't sustainable. They were winning all of the one-score games. And so that's no way to live. But the fact that you are competing and are competitive, that should bode well for you as you know, get your roster better. It was pointed out to me a couple weeks ago, the point differential in the losses had gone down from 8 points to 2. And I got to look at that and see if that still holds. I know one of the big things we made a point of last season was the point differential was the third lowest, I believe, behind the Giants and the Lions. So, of course, the Giants closed that gap as they're going to the playoffs, and the Lions look like they turned things around. Now, the Falcons haven't had that breakthrough win yet, unless you count San Francisco this year, but they didn't sustain things after that. So Detroit got things flipped around about midseason, made a run, almost went to the playoffs. So we're looking for that. We'll be looking for that early from the Falcons next season. But as we go into the offseason, we wanted to know what the offseason process would be for the Falcons, and here's Terry Fontenot on that.
Yeah, we're right in the heart of everything, and the scouting department does a really good job. We've already had some college meetings in December. The pro staff has been in pro meetings for the last couple weeks, and so we're right in the heart of that. Now, as we wrap up the season, the first thing we do is we look in the mirror, and we're going to look at every aspect of the program and assess every detail, take a deep dive, and look at the things that went well, the things we want to continue to build on, and where are the areas that we need to improve. So we'll take our time, and we'll first self-scout and self-assess, and then we'll move forward.
Yep, self-scout, self-assess. The biggest self-scout and self-assess will be quarterback Desmond Ridder. And we wanted to know from Arthur Smith, point blank, if Desmond Ridder did enough to enter the offseason as the quarterback of the future.
Well, D-Lad, you know, we're still early in the offseason, but we were certainly encouraged by the progress he made. But there's a lot of work ahead of us before we're ready to declare anything like that right now.
Yep, encouraging. That's good. We'll take that. It's better than the alternative. It's that no, we better be looking for the next guy. So now that he's encouraged and they're evaluating, we wanted to know how to evaluate Desmond Ridder to determine if he is the right fit at quarterback for the Falcons.
A lot of things. And Terry just described, you know, with the offseason, where you are, you know, a couple of days when the season just ended. And like I said, we were, you know, very encouraged, but there's a lot of things that could change. There's the things it's healthy to take a step back. Like even, not even just a couple of days after, Mike, you know, a couple of weeks as you go back and you go through your cut-ups and you watch the games again, you watch the throws and conversations that Terry and I will have. And, you know, it's just, it doesn't make a lot of sense right now, 2 days removed from the season, to make any declaration about the roster or this guy's future. We'll take our time. I mean, we obviously have had conversations, but there's a lot of work to be done until then.
All right. There's a lot of work to be done until then. The Falcons hold the 8th pick in the draft. Top 3 quarterbacks will be gone by then, unless you like Richardson or Hendon Hooker. They might still be there at 8. You know, Chicago, is that pick's supposed to be up for grabs. Anybody that wants Bryce Young could come up and get it. They might stand pat with Fields. And, you know, then C.J. Stroud is probably going to the Colts, or Will Levis to the Colts at 4. So definitely by 4, 2 of them are gone. And then it's highly unlikely the third one would make it to 8. So if the Falcons are in the quarterback market, you know, they're going to have to go up. Their evaluation of Ridder is one that they think, okay, yeah, he's a good talent, but, you know, not our quarterback of the future. We can't win a championship with him. Then they got to make a move this year in the draft. But you don't want to get on that quarterback carousel that Tampa Bay was on for years. You know, Josh Freeman's the one that stands out, but they thought they had him at one point and then they didn't. Still haven't solved it, but they put a Band-Aid on it in the name of Tom Brady and are back in the playoffs with it. But you got to get the quarterback right. And Terry Fontenot was a part of a situation in New Orleans where Miami nixed the physical on Drew Brees. They got Drew Brees in there, and Sean Payton era took off. So we talked to Rich McKay on Sunday, and you know, the Falcons are set up and poised to do well. He's happy with Terry and Arthur, but he cautioned the variables. And, you know, the variables come into play at every turn. You know, are you healthy? Did this guy pass a physical? Did this guy get arrested? You know, one of the variables in the Miami Drew Brees thing is, hey, they didn't like his shoulder, and the Saints approved it, and they took off. So there is some, you know, luck. Won't nobody call it luck, but there is some luck involved in team building, and you got to be right and sound on your football decisions here too. So that's where we're at as the Falcons are starting their offseason, the offseason process, and deciding what to do at quarterback. They're very encouraged by the 2-2 mark that Desmond Ridder made. Some of the throws were very good. Sounds like they want to pass the buck on. They want to move forward with Desmond, but they don't want to tip their hand to the rest of the league who might, you know, if somebody wants to come up and draft somebody, they can, you know, build some capital. Or if they want to go up and get Jalen Carter or one of the defenders, you know, they don't want to tip their hand this early in the offseason process. So with that, we're going to take a break. This is our special episode, postseason edition of Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot, episode 384 of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. We're going to take a break. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach. An air freshener can make your car smell like paradise. A drive to Daytona Beach will actually get you there. Beach on. Plan your trip today at DaytonaBeach.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, one of the big stories coming out of this season was the fact that the offensive line did a very, very good job in the run game. They also protected much better than they had in the last 4 years, where Matt Ryan had at least 40 sacks. So averaged 159.9 yards rushing per game, which was third in the league. And now they got to build on that. They got to build out the rest of the offense. So we wanted to hear from Arthur Smith, a former offensive lineman himself, on the progress of the offensive line this season.
No, I thought those guys played well. But to Terry's point, you know, nothing ever, you know, stays the same whether you want it to or not. But I think there was a lot of strides made in that room, which was what I was talking about during camp. And so, you know, it's one thing to say it, but there's one thing, you know, the results hopefully prove that, you know, with the certainly Drew at the center spot. You know, we did have a lot of different left guards, and they all contributed between Elijah and Colby and Henny and Chuma. You know, Chuma played a game there. So, and that's a credit, too, to the stability of that room and Jake and Drew, when you're mixing and matching. So, and who knows what the future holds. I thought certainly guys improved a lot. I think there's a huge, you know, every year in the NFL, but you talk about year one, a year two jump to year three, and then you certainly saw it with Chris in year four and Caleb. So pleased, you know, there's some decisions you still got to make, but the progress there was real, and you saw it week in and week out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They could run the ball. They ran it on everybody. They only had one game under 100 yards against the Rams. So they're set basically at center, right guard, and left tackle. Had a revolving door at left guard. They have to make a decision at right tackle. Now, in addition to that, you know, they got a couple young guys that they are on the back burner. We didn't hear anything from Jalen Mayfield this year after he started 16 games as a rookie at the left guard spot. So he was activated off of IR, but never made it to the roster. So that's kind of a mark against them. We'll see what that means in the long run here. Then also Justin Schaefer, he had a high ankle sprain, 6th-round pick from Georgia, who was a road grader in college. If he just can get a hold of himself and take control of that position, they're waiting for somebody to take charge at that spot. Now, right tackle might be a deal where, they don't want to pay McGarry for 4 years, $70 million, and he goes into free agency, and you draft the Paris Johnson kid out of Ohio State. So, there are going to be some decisions along the line also. Maybe they do pay him the $70 million. Or something in that neighborhood and keep him on board. But here, let's hear what Terry Fontenot has to say about the contract negotiations with Caleb McGarry.
Well, look, we talk about, and again, we're not going to negotiate in the media, like we said, but Caleb did some really good things this year, and he was a part of setting that foundation. We talk about the offensive line, and you can go put on any game, and the way they established the line of scrimmage, the way we ran the football, that tough mindset. Caleb was a part of that, you know, and yet we want to make sure that, hey, it'd be great if you can always have the same players and keep a cohesive unit together, but that's just not the – that's not how it works sometimes. Sometimes there are different parts, but we want to continue to have that identity on our offensive line and have that tough mindset. So Caleb did some really good things, but that's the business part of it that we're not going to – that those will be direct conversations with him and his representation. We're not going to do that here.
Yeah, well, you know, that's respectable, Caleb. We know what the money's going to be. They have it. They got to decide if they're going to pay it or not. Last year with Foye Ulukon, they no matter what they did, they couldn't pay it. So that's why he's in Jacksonville and going to the playoffs. Led the league in tackles again this year. You hate to see good players go, but, you know, when you're in the salary cap situation they're in, he was just the latest that they had to let go. Devondre Campbell would have been good to still be here. But, you know, the other big news here is, you know, Dean Pease retired on Monday, and so they're in the search for a defensive coordinator. Three things we've heard so far: Frank Bush took over for him, Jerry Gray is tied to Smith from the Tennessee days, Deshae Townsend, who's in Jacksonville, it's coaching the passing game down there, you know, they have relationships too, but he says he's gonna cast a wide net and hire the best person, so not necessarily his buddy for the job. So let's hear from Coach Arthur Smith on finding a new defensive coordinator.
I mean, obviously, you know, we'll miss Dean, and I'm glad he got to talk to everybody on Monday. That was important. And so we've cast a really wide net, D-led, and we're going to take our time, which I think is important. Certainly there's things that, you know, familiarity with certain schemes that, you know, you want to talk to, but we're not going to be closed-minded about anything. So I think it's important. You know, I like the setup now they have with, I think it helps where you don't feel rushed. I think in years past, if you're in this situation, you may feel a little rushed. I think things have seemed to slow down. So we'll be very mindful of that. I want to talk to a lot of people. I've already have talked to a few so far, but we'll take our time.
Well, all right. You know, it's a big deal when we get the general manager these days, because the way the Falcons have it set up, they want the coach speaking for the team and some old stupid Bill Parcells mess that the teams have adopted. The general manager's unavailable during the season. They even comment on, you know, transactions, just basic stuff. We used to call Ron Wolf every day at 4 o'clock. So we get Terry this end of the season deal. We'll probably get him again at the combine and then the draft. You know, it's not as like where we're used to hear from the general manager on a regular, almost daily basis anymore. Not anything that the general manager has done, but the team has elected to adopt this one voice thing that, you know, doesn't really serve the readers well. You know, we see it in medical situations where the coach is saying, "I'm not a doctor." I'm like, "Well, we used to talk to the doctor. We walk in the walk in the training room and get the list of players for practice." But, you know, those days are changing. They're changing. They think it's they have proprietary information when, in fact, they, you know, use a lot of taxpayer money to build all these cathedrals. But, you know, we'll press on here. Press on. And, you know, so when we get the GM, we try to, you know, make sure you get everything that he says that's pertinent to the team. And, here is what Terry had to say on Arthur's involvement in the defensive coordinator search.
We've had a lot of conversations, even while Dean was here. Arthur knows what he wants on defense. Arthur doesn't, as a head coach, as a play caller, as an he doesn't just stay on one side of the building and just focus on the offense. He's involved in every phase, special teams, defense, offense. So he's involved in every area. And so he knows, which he's always known as, what structure he wants, what types he knows what affects him as a play caller and what you struggle with. So he knows what he wants it to look like. And him and Dean obviously conversated a lot, and him and the defensive coaches. So it's not like now we're bringing in a new visionary of the defense and he's going to have a whole different, you know, Arthur really knows what he's looking for. And he'll be strategic in that. When we draft players, we weren't prisoners in the moment, and they're not going to fit. We're drafting players that can be multiple and can fit what we're looking for.
Yeah, they're trying to straddle the fence on the 3-4-4-3 thing. They're really going to be 3-4. They're staying that way. There's some other quotes here where he talked about it doesn't matter if you're 3-4 or 4-3 because you're in so many people play 11 personnel that you're going to be in a 4 down front anyway. You know, you got to be flexible. That's one of them. And then, you know, then he's like, hey, the foundation has been built. It will be refreshing to go in there and get more formal interviews and hear people's perspectives, you know, and learn a lot about people, and they're going to hire the best candidate. But the way we built it won't change. So they built a 3-4 defense, so it ain't changing. So I don't know why they played the semantic game with us on that. But, yeah, so they're going to get a 3-4 guy in here, and they're going to try to let him tweak it out like they do in Baltimore, like they have done in Baltimore for years. And that's the takeaway from that. So I'm not going to put too much stock in the 3-4-4-3 switch. They're going to go 3-4. They're going to have to play multiple fronts against 11 personnel and on third downs. And they got hybrid defensive end, outside linebackers that could turn into defensive ends. So we'll be looking for a 3-4 again next year. So another big thing is, hey, they're going to have $70 million at least in money to spend in free agency. So the big key in free agencies now is, hey, how do you evaluate them? Was this guy just ready to take off? Or was this guy, did he make it to free agency because, you know, he had problems in other places he was at? So evaluating free agencies to fit in your free agents to fit in your locker room is key. And we discussed that with Terry on evaluating the free agents based on how good they are or if other teams can't afford them.
Yeah, it's all risk assessment because and it's a risky business because – you're right. If there's a reason they're letting that player out the building, and it could just be just that, hey, financially, they might not be able to afford them. They might not be a specific fit. There could be an injury thing. There could be a character thing. So it's all risk assessment, and that's the onus is on us to make sure we know exactly what it's risk assessment, and we can really go through, hey, why is this player available, and is this player going to be the right fit? So that's on us. And look, I believe we've done a good job even in the last couple of years. We've been able to bring in some free agents that are good football players, and we have to do the same thing. But it is. You have to look at all those factors.
Yep, no doubt. We've been covering free agency since the beginning when the Reggie White lawsuit was won. Judge Doty out of Minnesota declared free agency was going to be the law of the land. And shortly thereafter, Reggie said God told him to go to Green Bay. Over San Francisco. And so ever since then, we've seen some teams get better in free agency, but very rarely do you get a player of Reggie White's ilk in the free agency market. So we'll be studying that market here later. The Falcons have about 27 free agents. You know, the ones they want, they could probably re-sign easily. Then they'll be able to go out and get some players that, you know, should be able to help them. And we'll be looking at that as we move forward. Before we get out of here, just want to highlight a couple postseason awards. Chris Lindstrom was named to the Pro Football Journal's All-Pro Second Team on Monday. That's the third time in a row he's been selected All-Pro by Pro Football Journal. It's a widely respected, dedicated journal to reporting mainstream and esoteric aspects of professional football. And the blog is written by John Turney, a longtime pro football researcher and writer. They do a great job, especially in the trenches. And Chris Lindstrom has been on their radar for 3 years. He just made the Pro Bowl this year for the first time. And a couple other highlights. Returner Avery Williams was picked to the PFL's All-NFC team, second team as the punt returner. He averaged 16.2 yards per return this year. And kicker Youngway Koo was named Special Teams Player of the Month December/January by the NFL on Thursday. And then I didn't even know the NFL players had an All-Pro team, but they do. And Cordarrelle Patterson was selected All-Pro, even though he just had 9 kickoff returns for 281 and a touchdown. So there was no minimum there. And the real La Pro team comes out on Friday. The Associated Press is voted on by their panel. That's the widely recognized All Pro team, and it will come out on Friday. The Falcons are hopeful that Lindstrom gets in. Grady Jarrett would be a surprise, but probably Lindstrom is all we'll be looking for. But we'll see on Friday when the AP All Pro team comes out. So we're gonna get on out of here. We heard from General Manager Terry Fontenot and Head Coach Arthur Smith about the front office off-season shuffle. The Falcons are getting ready to go on here, starting, a lot of things are underway already. Said the draft meetings have started. The pro meetings have started. They're right in the heart of it. They got to do the self-assess of last season, and that's going to tell them who's going to go, who's going to stay. If the market's if they don't like the number the Falcons have, they'll go to the market. You know, one of the things I thought was, I'm like, hey, if you like your guys, you're in the playoff hunt here. You know, they were until week 17. You know, sprinkle some money in the locker room. Give Rashad Evans an extension if, you think he is going to be with you. But they didn't do that, and so they're taking everything into the offseason, doing their evaluations, and then I know Lorenzo Carter was thinking, well, they did enough to maybe they would come to him. But no extensions were granted. And everybody's going into the offseason kind of, hey, I might be back. I like to be back. Now, nobody said they didn't want to come back. But some people will want to go to the open market and see what they can get out there. That was the case last year with Foyer, and Jacksonville made an offer. The Falcons couldn't, there was nothing they could do. They couldn't do, their hands were tied. So we'll see how things progress here in the offseason for the Falcons. Well, it's a wrapping up this 7-10 season, and this is a lot different vantage point than the last two offseasons where they, we knew they couldn't do too much. But this offseason, they got money to spend, they got draft picks. They got players to re-sign, and come April the 29th and May the 1st, we can kind of look at it and say, okay, this looks like a much improved roster, or maybe this is not a much improved roster, but they need this person to step up here and this other person to step up there. But yeah, so we got a head start jumping into the off season, and we'll stay on top of things for the Atlanta Falcons. With that in mind, we're going to ask you to take care and have a great rest of your week and enjoy the Super Wild Card playoff weekend.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.